Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
This is a Boardwalk Audio podcast.
Hello and welcome to Duck Snort Baseball Podcast. I'm Greg Nix.
I'm Wayland McQueen.
And we're just chilling here in the Duck Snort Studios, the spacious Duck Snort Studios.
We just got invited to go to the farmer's market.
Yeah.
But instead
we're providing hot content for podcast listeners.
Hot organic content straight from the
source. Fresh picked. We got a good show today. We got some, there's some big baseball news over the last week, things that we want to cover. Before we get into that, want to thank Boardwalk Audio, as always, for hosting us. You can support Boardwalk by visiting ducksnortpodcast.com. Click the support our artist link. That'll take you to Amazon shop like you normally would. Ducksnort and Boardwalk get a small percentage. So always appreciate that. Also, big what up to Off the Bench Baseball, our distribution partners. Love those guys. They've got a couple of cool articles up at the moment. One Waylon might be interested in. Should we be surprised by Jorge Soler? Are you surprised by Jorge Soler? Quick hot take.
I am surprised by Jorge Soler, but not as surprised as like people were last year about like Scooter Jeanette.
Yeah.
You know what, it's not like out of absolutely nowhere.
Who is also having a very good season again.
Yeah, he is.
Who's like just an all-star now.
But that seems like just truly shocking, right? And
yeah,
Soler
yeah.
is just like, because also...
Soler like put together, he was a great prospect.
Yeah, and he didn't, it's not like he was like god-awful. He was god-awful last year and the year before, but like it's not like he was god-awful for the Cubs.
Yeah, but could you see this being like... The Jorge Soler putting up like 5 wins this season and then never being above replacement again.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, like I'm not
like just one of those random seasons.
Yeah. You're a fool if you're drinking like the Soler Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
I think it's more surprising. He's been falling off lately, but Gordon was having a really good year.
Yeah. Dead cat bounce.
What?
Dead cat bounce.
That little bit.
Yeah.
But I think like the weird thing with the Royals is it's not that surprising because like this is essentially what happened with Gordon, you know, 10 years ago.
Oh, that's
and
true.
And it's essentially what happened with Moose like 4 years ago.
Yeah, that's true.
Like they
late
were bottoming out. Yeah, and Moose got
sluggers.
Sent down. Do you remember that like in 2014?
More
or
than
something?
Once.
Yeah, but like when he should have been established. So it's like.
Well, it was the first year they made the World Series that he got sent down earlier that year, I think.
Yeah, 2014. Yeah. So it's like, I guess it's a weird thing the Royals do, but who knows? Frank Coor had that one really good year. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And then he turned into just absolute shit.
Yeah. we'll be interested to see whether Soler keeps it up, but definitely check out that article at Off the Bench. Another article at Off the Bench about Robinson Cano, which was the big baseball news of the week,
news.
I think. You know, presumptive Hall of Famer before this, Robinson Cano, got popped for steroids.
You think he's like a no-doubter Hall of Famer? Or do you think he was?
Well, I think, things, this maybe changes it, but... He certainly seemed to be on a Hall of Fame track. You know, I think he was and still may be on track to get to 3,000 hits. Mm. You know, he's at 2,400 right now and has been productive every year, with the exception of maybe like his first year in Seattle. It was a bit of a down year, I think. But yeah, I mean, this one was very shocking and kind of a bummer for me. I like Cano. I always have.
Yeah.
Even when he was on the Yankees, he was one of those rare Yankees where I kind of, I just liked him as a player and I liked Seattle's kind of very bold move to sign him. I liked that he continued to produce in Seattle and continues to Produced in Seattle.
Choked up about this.
very emotional.
Not you, Cano.
Look, Robbie and I go way back. Okay, we used to do comedy together back.
Oh,
in,
you did you?
Yeah,
in Tucson.
Yeah.
Is he from Tucson?
Yeah, exactly. The Tucson improv scene. Then he became a famous baseball
Robbie
player.
Robbie and Greg.
Yeah, our two man.
It's a super bummer. You're right, and I'm with you. For some reason, I feel like I always like Yankees second baseman.
Yeah.
Because I like. Gregorius.
He's a shortstop.
He's a shortstop. Well, I'm an idiot. Who plays second base for him?
Well, it was Starlin Castro.
See? Love Starlin Castro.
Love Starlin Castro. I don't know why I'm blanking on...
Yeah, Gregorius is a shortstop, of course. But I liked Soriano when he was there. Alfonso. Even though last week he picked him. He's my least favorite Cub.
Yeah.
He was fine on the White Sox, the Yankees. As a...
Gleyber Torres is their second baseman right now.
I like
him. It was Neil Walker last year, I believe. They have Neil Walker this year. That's right.
Anyway, it's a big bummer. I think it's so stupid.
So we should be clear, I guess. Probably most people listening know the whole story, but he was popped for a diuretic, which is a banned substance because it's used to mask other steroid use. And so he had to go to some kind of arbitration already in which MLB proved, I guess, to their satisfaction that he was using it with the intention of covering steroids.
Right.
Because otherwise he may not have been suspended.
Yeah, this diuretic is not an automatic suspension.
Correct.
There's some proof, and the MLB did that.
Yeah. One thought that I had, I'm not saying this is the case for Cano, but, you know, he kind of used the classic, like, oh, my doctor prescribed me something I didn't know it was banned or whatever, whether that's true or not. So many guys use that excuse, like, nobody's ever going to believe it. So I feel bad for the one guy, whoever it is, who, like, actually did get, slipped something or...
I'm sure it happens. But if you're Robinson Cano and you're making multi-million dollars a year, like, that's such a dumb thing to not follow up on.
Yeah, which is why, sort of like Occam's razor, he probably used it knowing what it was.
Like, I would be more inclined to believe that if it was like, or like Soler got suspended. It wasn't the same thing. Or not Soler, Jorge Bonifacio for the Royals.
Right.
I don't remember what the drug was, and I think his was not a masking agent. But the point is, I would buy it more from him, someone who's doesn't have a ton of money to get second opinions and is like still struggling and still trying to make his way versus someone who's been playing the majors and has had teammates who have done steroids.
Yeah. Well, did you see Mark Teixeira's comments on it?
Wasn't surprised by it.
Yeah. Not surprised because what was it? Because he was pals with A-Rod and wasn't it? It was like his locker was two guys who
I can't remember who the other one was. Yeah. I didn't read like a lot of it, but it just feels like there's, to me, it doesn't feel like if you're Robbie Cano, either you're guilty or there's just like no excuse.
Yeah.
Because there's got to be also a way, like if it was prescribed to him, I assume there's a way for him to go to Major League Baseball and say, I got this prescription that is on. That is problematic.
You mean prior to testing positive?
Yeah. Like if he got prescribed. If I'm Robbie Cano, I feel like I would be doing my due diligence to make sure anything I'm putting in my body will not
I retweeted from the DuckSnort account, which is a very subtle plug to follow at DuckSnort Pod. But Dan Heron, when this happened, replied to Ken Rosenthal, I think, with sort of a story about like, oh, I got prescribed ADHD medication and it was on the banned list. And so I tried to get a waiver, but like the entire process was really messed up. So I just never ended up taking the prescription,
which seems
problematic in its own way for players who have like legitimate reasons to be taking this stuff.
But that makes sense to me. Like, I mean, it sucks, and their MLB should be responsible for allowing players to take drugs that might be banned if they have a legitimate reason and it's not a steroid. Like, if Cano had a legitimate reason to take this, and there should be an avenue open for him.
A diuretic is, like, to make you go pee, right?
Is that
the idea?
Yeah. I don't know. Like, it's hard for me when you're like a superstar player who's been a veteran.
Oh, absolutely.
To say that, I didn't know. Like, that's like one of the like very few things you just have to make sure you're not doing is taking anything that's going to get you suspended.
Yeah. Well, and it's like the easiest excuse. And that's why I wonder, like, there's got to be people who actually have accidentally taken it, like, and just kind of like get fucked by that sort of like, they get lumped in with
that's definitely happened.
All the liars.
But I think I'm more inclined to believe it if it's a younger player, especially one who hasn't signed a contract yet.
But the flip side to that is the younger players are trying to get to the majors. Like, they have that's the most incentive to use, basically.
That's true. I mean, it seems like Cano's probably just doing it so he stays good. So he honors his so he's honoring, he doesn't turn into Albert Pujols.
And like in a certain light, you kind of have to respect that motivation to stay on top of your game and live up to what the fan expectations of you are. But
so I think my question for you is this: how much does this taint Robinson Cano in your eyes?
In my eyes?
Yeah.
Not a huge amount, I guess, but like I'm also not the kind of fan who like specifically cares about steroid use in a huge way. I do think like it definitely will affect his Hall of Fame chances. Like there are there are guys now who probably would have been like two thumbs up who will never vote for him. So that like lowers, I guess it makes it a lot harder for him to get into the Hall of Fame. I mean, it is kind of a bummer. Like, I sort of have a weird soft spot for the Mariners just because, they're so in between, but they have some interesting guys. I think we've talked about it before. I like Jerry DePoto, their GM and stuff. So, like, for me, I think the bummer of it is, like, the Mariners were having a really good season, and it was kind of shaping up to be, like, a good race in the AL West for those wild cards at the very least with the Mariners and the Angels. But this is a huge blow to the Mariners.
Yeah, it really is.
Like, they're such a Stars and Scrubs kind of outfit, you know, that losing their biggest star. They do have D. Gordon, I guess, who
also has cheated.
Who also has cheated, yeah, but who is now playing second base for them. They moved him in from center field.
Wow, what a, like, kind of in retrospect, what a great signing that is, because everyone was like, can he play outfield? And now it's still you're losing production, but it could be way worse.
Well, it was kind of funny from like a White Sox fan specific perspective of like the guy they called up when Cano went on the DL. That's the other thing, is Cano might have missed, you know, 3 months anyway because he was hurt.
I forgot about this little thing where he gets to serve his suspension on the DL
while he's
which
hurt.
Seems like bullshit.
Yeah, well, but he's not allowed to play in the playoffs if the Mariners do make
that's
it.
That's right. That's part of
so
it.
So there is still a price to pay, and he might have missed 2 or 3 months, which is not 80 games. But like, so when he got hurt, they called up Gordon Beckham, who is like the White Sox second baseman for 4 or 5 years, was this very hyped draft pick who just sucks. foreshadowing one of my least favorite players in White Sox history. We're going to be a little later in the show, we're going to be talking about our favorite and least favorite White Sox in history. But so they called Gordon Beckham up, and then Cano got popped, and everybody was like, oh, are they going to move D. Gordon to second now? And they were like, no, we're going to keep him in center field. And sort of White Sox fans were like, well, let's see how much Gordon Beckham it takes them to like realize they need to move D. Gordon to second base. And it was like 2 days later, they were like, D. Gordon's moving to second
That's
base.
Really funny. maybe this will have like, you know, like sometimes this kind of stuff happens and it has like a weird unifying effect. And
Ewing theory.
Simmons Ewing theory. Yeah. I was trying not to name drop Bill Simmons, but here we are.
Name drop our good friend, Bill Simmons.
Yeah, friend of the podcast, Bill Simmons. I love him. I don't know why I didn't want to name drop him. But I feel like with baseball, it's like Cano. I mean, I guess I don't know. Was he like crushing it? Like, was he like.
He was having a good year.
All-star that, like. Because, like, the Angels losing Mike Trout is like devastating.
Right. But, well, like, he's not Mike Trout, obviously. Yeah. Nobody is, but
that's what I mean is like.
But he is their best player, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, Nelson Cruz is really good.
It's gonna hurt.
But I don't know who would be. I guess Segura, maybe. But
end of the day, it's like 2.5 wins. That's
the
thing.
They're the kind of team that cannot afford to lose 2.5 wins.
But that's if someone could just step up, like if three players can step up to be worth 3/4 of a win, is what it's like, not as much to cover as if you lost Trout for a half season and you're literally losing six wins, maybe.
Sure, yeah.
Like, I know I'm using Trout as a very extreme example, but even like Mookie Betts, you're probably losing four wins.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's possible to make up that ground, but it still hurts.
Yeah, well, but the counter argument to that is like, the Red Sox have a lot of depth, you know. Nobody can cover for Mike Trout, but like the Nationals, right? The Nationals, Adam Eaton is out, so they just called up Juan Soto, who is their second best prospect, 15th prospect in baseball, right? They're hoping he'll make up that difference.
Yeah.
But like the Mariners don't have any depth.
Yeah.
And they don't have a farm system to trade for depth, so it becomes like, yeah, maybe a replacement level second baseman is two wins worse than Cano over this time period, but they might not have a replacement level second baseman.
Might be a
Gordon's
the same
fielder,
as Cano,
yeah.
But now we're losing it in center. No, I see. I'm just, I don't think that the Mariners are necessarily, it seems like just because he's not so far and away their best player that, I mean, he is, but like Paxton might actually be their best player. You know what I mean? Like he's not Mike Trout.
Yeah.
Or he's not Bryce Harper, or he's not like Joey Votto, which would sink. I mean, the Reds already suck, but like, I don't know, Votto's having like a kind of a slow start, but like, he's not this player where it's like, oh, you lose him, you're just fucked.
Yeah.
I think it's not quite that bad.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it doesn't, like, I think I'd be way, with older guys, it doesn't bum me as much as they're using steroids, unless they somehow prove that he's been using it since he was on the Yankees. Because it is just
well,
like you're just trying to.
He must have passed a ton of tests over the last few years.
Like Altuve or like Lindor or Correa would hurt me like way more.
Yeah, yeah.
To be like, oh, you're
that sort of Brian Braun prime of his career.
Yeah,
kind of.
Like, because like Manning never really bothered me because I was just like, he was so good for so long. I mean, he probably was doing steroids the whole time because it was the 90s, but he didn't prove it until the end. So I'm not that. It's just like a bummer that it's like another player I liked is tainted.
Yeah.
That's
I
the
agree
biggest,
with
that's
you.
The biggest bummer, but like it doesn't. I would still vote for him for the Hall of Fame.
Have you? How would you feel? You know, the Cubs are in the thick of it right now.
Yeah.
How would you feel if you know, Bryant or Baez or Rizzo? How would you feel if one of them got busted for steroids? They're out for 80 games, and they can't play in the playoffs.
Oh, it would feel like a betrayal.
Yeah,
like it would if Bryant. Like I would never want to cheer for Chris Bryant again if he took steroids.
Yeah, see, that's I feel for Mariners fans right now. It's like, not only, you know, is this hurting their season, which was looking promising, but like, yeah, you couldn't, when it's your team, I think it's probably hard to cheer for those guys again. That hasn't happened to me, but I'm imagining it's much harder to,
but
like...
Like, if John Lester got busted for steroids, I don't think I'd be as mad. I think like there is something about like Chris Bryant, like you're in your prime, like you're our future, and you just like really fucked everything up. And John Lester is like, you may have fucked this season up, but like you're old, I get it.
Right, right.
Like, would you have been mad if Canerco would have been busted for steroids like 3 years before he retired or whenever, like 2 years before, like whatever his last kind of good year was? Like, what would that have done? I know they weren't contending, so it's not quite the same, but like what would that have done to you?
Yeah, I would have been bummed out. I don't know how like angry I would have been.
Like in 10 years, if Rizzo gets busted for steroids and he's still on the Cubs.
Yeah.
And it's very clear that he started doing it late career. It would be like much less of a hit than right now.
Yeah.
If that even makes any sense.
It does.
Yeah. Boy, well, do you think Canerco did steroids?
No, I don't. He was a pudgy boy.
Yeah, he really was. I don't, it's like him and Tomei. I'm like, there's no way.
You guys
are just big dudes.
Yeah. Well, let's shift gears a little bit. We wanted to talk briefly about the Tampa Bay Rays and Sergio Romo, who, as we speak, is starting his second game in a row after never starting a game in his career. 2 days in a row he's starting.
Is he going to go more innings this start, I wonder?
No, I don't think so.
Just one inning?
So basically the idea is the Angels have a very tough top of their lineup, sort of stocked with right-handed hitters, Ian Kinsler, Mike Trout, and Justin Upton. And so the Rays decided they're going to start Romo, who's sort of death on righties, and then bring in their starting pitcher in the hopes of avoiding the third time through the order penalty when the pitcher reaches those batters later in the game.
I love it.
Yeah?
I love it. He walked Kinsler, struck out Trout and Upton, and then Simmons.
Today. Yesterday, he struck out all three.
Yeah, and today he had two strikeouts and a walk, including Trout. So
I would have questioned it, except it worked so well. But like, not I wouldn't have questioned, I guess, the methodology. I would have questioned Sergio Romo still being a quality major league pitcher.
Sure, yeah.
But hey, it's worked.
Yeah.
And also, a little bit surprised that Mike Scioscia didn't try to make any adjustments. Also surprised that...
Could you imagine if he just announced that his lineup was like the... Like, if he was like, fine, it's Maldonado. Let me see, their bottom of their lineup today is Maldonado, well, Young, and Hermosillo. So if he would have been like, fine, I'll counter your Romo move with three... Or like, if he just would have put lefties in there and bad lefties. And he was like, okay, if we're going to play this game, we're just going to have like...
Well, they must have some... I mean, I guess today... Otani starting and they're not batting on Otani,
right,
on days that he's pitching.
Right.
But like, that would have been the solution, right? Is,
oh yeah,
have Otani bat second, crush a spicy ding dong, and then go to work in the
I think I've talked about it on this podcast like last year. I think that the starting pitcher seems like it doesn't necessarily have to be that way.
Well, yeah, I mean, clearly not. That, like, that's it doesn't have to, because the Rays didn't.
But I'm not saying this is necessarily the norm or like should be, but I don't think it's crazy to say like I have like a especially if you have like a Yankees type bullpen, like,
right,
what's wrong with bringing in one of your, like, how do you say his name? Tommy Canley. Like, what's wrong with having Canley pitch to the first like four or five batters, then bringing a starter in? So then that way, when the lineup turns over, it's still the first time they're seeing the starter. And then when they're in their third turnover, it's still only the second time, so the starter's still going to be effective. And then you've burned Canley, sure, but now your starter can go to the seventh if he's having a good game.
Yeah. Like, well, I mean, that's precisely what the Rays did yesterday.
I know I'm not like inventing this, but
right.
I'm just saying, like, with better personnel, I don't think it's crazy. I think it's like a good, obviously, if your starter struggles, then you're in trouble because now Canley has been burned. Or if Canley struggles, or whoever. Or if Romo, you know, if Romo puts the first three batters
on. Yeah, I guess the interesting thing will be like, if and when the reliever gets blown up, you know, but I guess you just take that risk. You're playing the percentages. It's a little bit like playing, like shifting your infield, right? Like, sometimes you get beat by the shift, but you're playing the percentages that most of the time it's going to work out.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense when you don't have great pitching like the Rays do. And like, I just like, the Rays are so funny because they're just like fucking around down there. You know what I mean?
But I think, like, why not? Like, that's, I was proposing the Rockies do that last year, but now that they're good, like, it's harder to fuck around. But like, why not fuck around if you're the Rays? You have some talent. Like, the A's should be doing it. The Padres should be doing it.
There's
like,
really not a lot to lose, especially the Rays have the least to lose because they have so few fans. You know, that like, the stakes are so low.
They're the perfect,
like,
team.
Like, what's going
to
happen?
It.
Like, nobody's going to come to their games? Well, guess what? It's already empty.
They really, the Marlins should be doing it. Like, there's no reason not to be fucking around. Like, to me, because, I mean, I don't know. Like, what's going to, like, the manager, it's not like, Kevin Cash is still the manager. Like, I feel like his job security is the same regardless of what he does, unless he does something truly insane.
Right.
Like, play only eight players or something. But, like, or if you're a manager that's, like, obviously only there. Like, Mattingly is secure, and he's got to be secure in Florida.
I guess. Kind of, like, easy when you have, like, a brutal roster to just, like... Like, Rick Renteria is going to be the White Sox manager for two more years, regardless of like what happens, because there's no pressure on him.
It's a little tougher to say, like, in the rebuild to like do this, but if you're in that weird middle stage where you have some talent, and I don't know, I feel like three or four teams a year should be doing this stuff, because what if it works?
Yeah, yeah.
But baseball's so stuck.
I mean, it is like kind of. I don't even know the word for it, but I guess like it's just surprising and like a little bit disconcerting if you know baseball to see the same pitcher starting two days in a row.
It's so weird.
Like
to that. Think about.
Like that's really weird. Like that's I've never like heard of that happening. Yeah. You know. Although they did, I should find it right now. But like the little MLB notification said he was the first in. Since 2012 or something, and I was like, "What? Who did it?"
Whoa!
Oh,
like
I remember.
Did somebody get like hurt pregame or
yes,
something?
Yes, I actually remember this happening. So Zach Greinke got ejected 4 pitches into a game,
that's
so he
right.
started the next game.
I remember that. Yeah. I do remember that. Yeah. I didn't realize.
Actually,
Greinke
started 3 games in a row because he was ejected. And then he started the next night and allowed 3 runs in 3 innings. And then it was the All-Star break. And he started the Brewers' first game back from the All-Star break.
Whoa.
So Romo's not going to be a record holder.
Sorry,
probably,
Romo. Get in there.
Right away.
I like feel like weird sometimes because we play in that league where we play once a week. And sometimes I'm like, wait, can we have the same pitcher start? Like both.
Yeah, like do we need a rotation?
Yeah, like no. Like it's just once a week. We can have the same dude pitch. I think it's cool. I like shit like that.
Yeah.
And
mess around with it.
I don't think if I was a Rays fan, I would be upset about it.
No.
It would be weird. I'm getting over these stodgy baseball people who...
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Don't want change.
Yeah. I mean, I think one thing that is becoming increasingly apparent in like a good way is like there's no one way to do it. Like
right.
baseball's changing so much. And we were talking about this at our game earlier today, but it's like baseball has always changed and will continue to change. And it's very irritating when people complain that it's like changing in the wrong way or something to me. To me, you know, we'll know when it's changing in the wrong way because it won't be fun to follow or watch anymore. That's the only way that baseball could change in the wrong way. And to me, baseball is as enjoyable, if not more enjoyable, than ever.
I completely agree. It's not the same game we grew up with. It is. That's one of the great things. But like, it's different the way it's played, but it's still fun.
Yeah.
That's what, I don't know, I'm going to get it. It's a rant. It's the same rant, but I cannot stand how many people are complaining about juice balls. Who cares? There are more home runs.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, it's like, there are too many home runs. Let's bitch about it for 2.5 seasons. I think they're just mad that the MLB isn't telling us.
Yeah. I can understand that, especially if you're a pitcher. Like Verlander complaining about this isn't the same ball. Why are you lying to me?
Pitchers complaining about it or players complaining about it is totally fine that are affected negatively.
Yeah.
But fans or baseball writers complaining
is
like, what are you talking about? We're getting home runs like during the steroid era. Only now no one's cheating.
Except for Robinson Cano.
Except for Robinson Cano and Jorge Bonifacio early this year.
Let's take a little break. And when we get back, we're gonna pick our favorite and least favorite White Sox ever. So stick around.
I don't feel better, babe. When we take a break, let's get all of it out on the table. You know walking out makes my blood boil.
All right, we are back in action, baby.
I want to mention real quick before we get to this White Sox thing.
Mm-hmm.
I was in Atlanta this last week.
Oh yeah,
I tried to go to a Cubs Braves game and it got rained out. Have you ever been rained out before?
Yes, but minor league.
Oh,
I remember
okay.
going to games. As a kid in Tucson during monsoon season.
Oh, yeah. And those just like kind of come up and dump water.
Yeah. So I don't know that it actually got rained out, but I definitely remember rain delays.
Yeah. The shitty thing about this one is that had they still been playing in downtown Atlanta, there would not have been a rain out.
Really?
Because I talked to people who are in Atlanta and they're like, it rained a little, But there was like lightning and stuff. But they kept us there for 3 hours.
That is rough.
But I got to see the stadium. Had an 18-inch slice of pizza.
Yeah, where were you? Were you just hanging out on the concourse, sort of?
Yeah, well, I mean, my seats were like in not the upper deck, but the next one, but they were pretty close. They were pretty fun seats. And then when it started, for a while, it was covered enough where I wasn't really getting rained on, but then the winds picked up. And so then I literally walked around the stadium on every level I could because I was there for 3 hours by myself. I wasn't in Atlanta with anybody.
Yeah.
Just wandering
around.
And
there were probably hardly any people there. Period.
It was actually pretty, I mean, because probably it felt like more people because everyone was
crunched in.
But like it felt like pretty, I am guessing there were still probably when they finally called it like 3 hours later, I'm guessing there were between 7,000 and 10,000 people still there.
Huh. No way. Yeah. I'm surprised by that.
Yeah.
It's too bad it got rained out for many reasons. One, you didn't get to see the Cubs.
Yeah.
Two, you went all that way and didn't get to see a game. But the experience of going to a game by yourself is a weird one.
Yeah.
So it's too bad you didn't get to experience that. I don't know if you've ever done that before.
I've done it once. I saw a Royals Angels game in Anaheim by myself once.
Yeah. I've done that too for White Sox. Yeah.
It was like 12:30 on a Wednesday. And I was like, we know a lot of people that don't have day jobs, but also trying to convince someone to go to Anaheim on 12:30 Wednesday. They're like,
No.
It's like a 5-hour commitment in the middle of the day. It's like, I'm not going to do that. So I went by myself. It was great.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was fine. It was still cool to be there. It is a pretty nice little complex they got there.
SunTrust. Trust the sun. That's what they say.
Yeah, but I did trust the sun.
Trusted the sun and it betrayed you.
Cool. I just wanted to mention that. It was my first rainout, though. I've been in delays and I've been in games that have been paused, but it's the first time I've like been at
the stadium. Well, it sucks that you like cannot redeem your ticket.
I cannot.
Yeah.
So if anybody, we can have a contest. If anybody is in Atlanta and wants to enter a raffle to win a free ticket to see the Braves Cubs on August
30th. How many people do you think are responding to this that there will be a need for a raffle? You really think more than one person's going to respond?
If you are in Atlanta on August 30th and want to see the Cubs Braves, you can enter the raffle. It's free. It'll be a drawing to get my ticket because I'm not going to be there.
All right. White Sox. Last week, if people didn't listen, we did the first in a 30-part series of picking our favorite and least favorite players for every franchise. And this is historical. This isn't current players. This is sort of as long as we can remember, or even before in the case of Ernie Banks.
Ernie Banks.
Before we can remember. So the White Sox obviously are near and dear to my heart.
Yes.
It did not take much thinking for me to figure this out, which I didn't know if it, like when we were talking about this segment, I didn't know if it would like pop in my head immediately or I'd have to sort of like sift through and figure out like who, you know, like what does my least favorite player even mean? That kind of thing. It was pretty easy.
Great. Where do you want to start with least? Let's start with least.
Start with least.
Who's your least favorite White Sox?
Okay. I'm going to do two because they're very similar. I am going to rank them.
Okay.
So my second least favorite player, Adam LaRoche.
Okay.
He signed as a free agent at a time where they were going to be competitive, had a horrible season, is a hillbilly-ass motherfucker who had his 12-year-old son in the clubhouse the entire time.
Oh, yeah,
Threw a temper tantrum when they tried to make him leave his 12-year-old son at home and retired, causing this big stink in which Adam Eaton then called said 12-year-old son a leader of the clubhouse. Chris Sale came down.
LaRoche.
Jimmy Rollins was the reason this all happened, I think, because they had signed him from the Dodgers in that offseason, and he was in the clubhouse. And he was like, why the fuck is there a little kid here all the time? And Jimmy Rollins proceeded to have a bad couple months before they released him. But I was very happy that Jimmy Rollins was on the White Sox because it allowed them to get rid of Adam LaRoche.
That's great.
So that's my second least favorite. Yeah. And the similarities here are my first least favorite player. The year was 1998, I want to say.
Okay. the baseball world is taken by storm by a home run race between two giants
of the game,
of the NL Central.
Okay, well, actually, it was 1997. The year before, 1997.
Ken Griffey Jr. was on his way to 56 home runs.
Right, exactly. the Sox, fresh off finishing behind the Cleveland Indians once again, decided to make some massive improvements to their team, and they signed Albert Bell, free agent slugger. And, of course, they signed well-known Milwaukee Brewers ace, Chicago Cubs ace, Jamie Navarro to anchor the pitching staff to the, what was that point, the biggest, and for subsequent years as well, was the biggest biggest pitching contract that the White Sox ever gave out.
And how did that work?
Jamie Navarro pitched in 102 games over those next 3 years, 542 innings, with a 6.06 ERA to three White Sox teams that would continue to finish behind the Indians. Just truly, like, that was, at that point as a kid, I remember just the feeling coming into my head of like, oh, some baseball players suck. They're just horrible, and there's nothing that you can do about it as a fan, and there's nothing the team can do because they're just still paying him.
Yeah.
And so somebody's got to pitch. They didn't have any better options. I mean, it's fucking ridiculous. Like, out of those 102 games, 87 of them were starts. They gave a guy with a 6 ERA 87 starts over three years.
He shouldn't be playing in 87 games over 3 years. That's insane.
Yeah.
That's a dude you bring in when you're up or down 10-1.
Yeah.
Like, that's what that becomes with a 6 ERA.
Right. Or you just fucking release him because he's clearly, I mean, his second year, he struck out 71 batters in 172 innings and walked 77 batters.
That is so bad.
So yes, crushing disappointment for me. For White Sox teams, that should have been good.
Yeah.
Had a lot of good players on them. Ray Durham, Magly Ordonez, Frank Thomas, of
Robin
course.
Robin Ventura?
Ventura.
Or was he gone by then?
He left at some point during those years, but I don't know specifically which
Jermaine Dye? When did he join? Later?
No, that was later. That was later on. Albert Bell had two great years with the White Sox.
You said Ray Durham, right?
Yeah. Yes. So anyway.
Yeah.
Crushing disappointment, especially after he pitched very well for 2 years with the Cubs.
Yeah.
I would see him on WGN and remember him being good.
I don't have any like super positive feelings about him, but I don't hate him. I'm sorry.
Well, you know.
I mean, he's your Alfonso Soriano.
Yeah, absolutely. Free agent bust.
Yeah. I have two least favorites.
Okay.
I'll go quickly. The one that's almost my least favorite, but not quite, is Joe Creedy.
Okay.
Because this might not even be bared out in statistics. I just feel like every time I saw him play against the Royals, he did something that made me hate him. As far as like, did something well against the Royals.
Right. You know
what I mean? Or like got the big hit or something. The number's not, he might have been average or below average against the Royals.
No, I know the feeling.
Using small sample size and my
selective memory.
Selective memory. Joe Creedy was like the bane of my existence.
I have no idea
what kind of guy he was. Had no idea how good he was normally, really. I know he was probably just, I imagine he was league average to slightly above league average for most of the time.
Yeah. He was good against the Royals.
Okay.
That
makes me feel good that I don't hate him for no reason. I don't hate him.
Yeah. 101 games, 21 homers. 841 OPS. So he was,
and it probably was because like
better than his career numbers,
because you're thinking Konerko or Thomas,
right?
Or because he would have played with Dye. Creedy was a little later, right? He was after Ventura.
Mm-hmm.
So like Ordonez before he went to the Tigers, there were so many players you thought were going to kill you. And I feel like it was always Creedy.
Hmm.
But my least favorite player has to obviously be AJ Pierzynski, who might be my least favorite player of all time.
I almost picked Michael Barrett for the Cubs. I thought about it.
For the fight, yeah. Man, I mean, I don't even feel like I had to say why I don't like AJ Pierzynski.
Give it a try.
He's such a fucking, his face and his temper and his bullshit cocky attitude in the 2005 playoffs, was joke in the fight. I have never disliked a player more than I liked AJ Pierzynski.
I
don't think while he was playing. In retrospect, I super hate Curt Schilling, but
yeah,
I didn't hate the way he played so much as I just hate him as a person.
Right. No, I mean, Pierzynski's a heel. He's like
such a heel. And he played for the White Sox. I probably would have been relatively indifferent about him if he was like playing for the Padres.
Yeah, but I mean, he's like a hateable player.
Oh, yeah.
And like the teams that he was on besides the White Sox, like mostly hated him. That's why they traded him from Minnesota. That's why San Francisco let him go after 1 year. Yeah. He had a terrible reputation, and now he's a hero in Chicago for White Sox fans, especially like a certain segment of like blue collary White Sox fans.
He definitely represents like a certain group of people. Not that I have anything against that group of people, but like,
right.
Fucking
classist piece of shit.
Yeah.
There's a pretty good chance that he's going to be broadcasting White Sox games at some point.
And maybe he'll have a redemption. I'm willing to give him a chance as a broadcaster.
Well, he's okay on TBS, I think. He does TBS games from time to time.
I just, like, there aren't a lot of players I dislike that if they got traded to the Cubs or Royals that I would like have a hard time with. Pierzynski, I would have had a very hard time if I would have had to start rooting for him.
Yeah. I mean, but you have to admit that Michael Barrett sucker punched him.
Yeah, but who cares? I don't care if AJ Pierzynski is sucker punched. I wouldn't have cared if he would have beamed him in the back with a ball when AJ Pierzynski was signing an autograph like a cancer patient. Like, Pierzynski deserves whatever he gets in my eyes.
Damn, dude. I've literally never seen you get riled up about another person in the world before.
I don't wish. I shouldn't have said beamed in the back. I don't want him to get
No, your true feelings.
Pierzynski getting. There's no player I wish true harm to as far as
All right.
I wouldn't have been I didn't like him. He's my least favorite player ever. So that was easy. All right. Creedy is like my fun one.
right.
Favorite White Sox. You want me to go to first?
You go.
So I'm going to do two because I like doing ones I saw play and one of all time.
Okay.
I'll go quick. Shoeless Joe Jackson all time because he got a bum deal and he's so good. So I'll just say that. There's not much you can say about Shoeless Joe.
Right. A great nickname. The thing I wonder about him is if he would be so well known if he didn't have the nickname.
Yeah, the nickname.
Yeah.
No.
Like
I don't think so.
Yeah, like no. Well, I mean, Field of Dreams helps, I guess, but
but he probably was in Field of Dreams because they're like Shoeless.
He was the best player on that White Sox team.
Yeah, but
nobody, there's no like legend of like Swede Reisberg, which was like another guy.
Well, Eddie Seacott, or however you say his name, was probably a Hall of Famer.
Right.
And you don't know anything. He was a pitcher, but you don't know anything about him. Buck Weaver was like probably borderline Hall of Fame, but like Swede Reisberg was a good pull. He was like garbage though. Eddie Collins was on that team, but he was not involved in the scandal. But he was probably just my favorite looking back. Favorite I ever saw it's got to be Frank Thomas.
Right.
He was so fun to watch.
Not a fan.
Not a fan of the big hurt.
Like Frank Thomas is my favorite White Sox. Favorite baseball player of all time.
That's right. I knew that, but I also knew that you love Burley.
And I do love Burley.
I was expecting Burley for this one.
That's interesting. I didn't really consider anybody other than Thomas just because
he's that hot. He's that.
Yeah.
Revered.
And when I was a kid, he was like the guy, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like not even just for the White Sox, but like in baseball, it was like him and Ken Griffey Jr. during my formative years. And it was sort of like you picked one or the other.
Well, Barry Bonds, but in the AL, it would have been Thomas.
But like Griffey. Even in those years, like, yes, Bonds was great, but like, at least to me, like he didn't have the profile. Like there was no Barry Bonds video game, I don't think.
Right, yeah.
Like there was a Ken Griffey Jr. video game and a Frank Thomas video game.
You're right, yeah.
Like on the cover of Sports Illustrated for Kids, like they won MVPs in back to back years. So for me that was the debate, and like I just had such an attachment to Frank Thomas. On top of like him being the best player on like my favorite team, and you know, being a Hall of Famer, he's like he's the greatest White Sox of all time for sure.
Both
in terms of like performance and like I guess like impact, like league wide impact. Like the Big Hurt is like a legendary baseball player nickname, it's profile.
It's a top five best nickname.
You know who gave it to him, don't you?
Hawk.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I know the whole story.
You don't have to be happy about it.
But no, Hawk. I mean, I think a announcer like Hawk, that's what he's good for.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, like, yeah.
He's given Frank Thomas the nickname the Big Hurt. Like,
yeah.
That's why you want Hawk on. That's why you do want Hawk announcing your games.
The only downside to the nickname the Big Hurt is it gave rise to absolutely the lamest insult in hot take sports, which is the big skirt. That's what they called Thomas because they thought that he was like dogging it, like sitting out when he was hurt and stuff
like later
like that.
In his career.
Not even later in his career, like in his prime, or like late prime. There was a couple of years where he was like very seriously injured, and so he would like he tried to play through it and was like playing badly and then shut it down, and they were like the big skirt, whatever. And then they would announce during the offseason, like, they removed a bone spur the size of a baseball from his ankle, you know?
And I feel like he was also like a Joey Votto type in that he would take walks and hit for average.
Yes.
So I feel like there was some frustration there because he also had a ton of power.
Right.
But he also, his approach was kind of not as a power hitter.
Well, and he had some weird seasons where it was kind of like, 94-95, he won MVP both years. Or 93-94, he won
94,
MVP both years.
Yeah.
And then from like 95 to 99, he had like a couple of very good years, but then a couple of weird years where it would be like 1 year he would hit 340, but only hit 15 or 20 home runs.
Right.
And then the next year he would hit like 260 and hit like 45 home runs.
Yeah.
So there was like, later in his career, a little bit of a consistency issue season to season. But, I mean, the amount of shit that he took was, like, absolutely ridiculous.
It was really weird.
Like, going up to his last year with the White Sox, where he was, like, hurt, came back, hit, like, 200, but hit, like, 12 home runs in 20 games or something, and then got shut down. And they got forced out of town by fucking Kenny Williams. I was like, this is the best player in franchise history.
Yeah.
You're Kenny Williams. You need to, like, chill out.
In, like, such a weird way.
I mean, if you want to be charitable, they got Jim Thome, who subsequently had three really great years for the White Sox. But it ended so poorly, like, in this, like, weird Frank Thomas, Ozzie Guillen, Kenny Williams standoff.
That was so weird. Miguel Cabrera just said that thing where he's like, I'm tired of playing hurt. It's still happening. Did you see that?
No.
Yeah, Miguel Cabrera was like, I want to say, it was sometime earlier this week, he was just like, I'm tired of playing hurt. I don't want to play hurt anymore.
Yeah, that it's like expected of you at a certain point.
So it's like still a problem.
And then you get blamed for playing badly when you're hurt.
Yeah. Which actually, I mean, similar profile to Frank Thomas, right? Miguel Cabrera?
Yeah, for sure.
I would imagine they have to be pretty similar comps.
Yeah,
a high average,
so.
High power.
Yeah.
It's weird that players still get shit for playing hurt or for not being tough enough to continue playing.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people also just like, it's just baseball. But, or you know what I mean? It's not like you're playing soccer or basketball or you're
that's
running.
Dumb.
But we were just talking today. I don't know if you were there at the game with people. Or like, you forget how hard baseball is.
Oh, it's so hard.
It's not. I mean, I'm not going to say it's as hard as basketball or soccer as far as like endurance or cardio.
Right.
But it's not easy.
Yeah.
It's not, because a lot of people just think it's, or might think it's just like you're standing around and you do something here and there.
Yeah.
But it's exhausting.
Yeah, it's a mentally exhausting game because you got to be paying so much attention and you have to build up your readiness. I don't know what the word I'm, but like every pitch you have to do that, like certainly when you're in the batter's box, but when you're in the field too.
Yeah, and you have to be prepared to do a lot of different kind of athletic things.
Mm-hmm.
Like a swinging a bat, if you've ever gone to the batting cages, wears you out. I know you have.
Yeah.
But if wears you out so quickly.
Yeah.
But then suddenly you have to run, or you're in the field, you have to sprint or dive or...
Yeah, nothing will make you appreciate the home run derby more than like going to the batting cage for like 20 minutes.
20 minutes is like an eternity.
Yeah,
over
you're
the
like,
cage.
I couldn't swing a bat for another week.
Yeah, you're like blisters up and down my hands.
And I only hit half of those balls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy, but Frank Thomas is a good one. So we agree. We both have a favorite player.
We do agree.
How can it not be?
I mean, ridiculous. Like this, his stats are fucking unbelievable. All right, so we're almost out of time, but I just want to, from 93 to 97, He hit .334 with 194 home runs over five seasons. So that's hitting .334 and like averaging 40 homers a season. OPS of 1,086. He got on base. Like, these are like Barry Bonds numbers. Yeah. He got on base 45% of the time in a 5-year span. Because
he took walks.
Yeah. Well, and then he's getting, that's what I'm saying about like all the shit he got. Yeah. So the 2 years after that, 1 year he hit for power but not average. The next year he hit for average, not power. And like the amount of criticism is unbelievable.
It's like that dumb thing, he just set the bar so high that he had nowhere to go but down.
The only other thing that I'll say about Frank that's a little bit criminal is he only made 5 All-Star games.
That's bizarre.
Yeah. And he
but
had,
he would have been going up against like what, Mo Vaughn, Mark McGuire, who else would it?
Jason Giambi for a while.
Giambi towards the end.
Tino Martinez, like the more popular like Yankees guys. But he had
Palmeiro, I guess, maybe a little bit.
He had
Eddie Murray early on.
8 seasons of 5 wins or more. Wait, no. Am I counting that right? 1, 2, 3. This is compelling radio. 8 seasons of 5 wins or more. Only 5 All-Star games. Come on. Major League Baseball.
It was a load. That was like a loaded first base.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm not saying he wasn't ripped off, because I think he probably was the best first baseman of the 90s.
Well, yeah, and he lost MVP to Giambi when Giambi was juicing.
In 2000,
yeah, he got second. I don't know. I could both talk about how great Frank Thomas is and whine about how underrated he is forever.
It's one of those where it's like almost like Tim Raines versus Ricky Henderson, where it's like it seems like every year Frank Thomas played except for like 3, because like Mo Vaughn was so good that 1 year,
right?
He's gonna get overshadowed. Anytime McGuire was healthy,
right?
He's gonna get overshadowed. Like Bagwell, I know it's a different league, but still a first baseman. Again, you can say Bagwell's a better first baseman than Thomas. Like you wouldn't have been crazy. Like, he was never just so clearly the best. Like, even Griffey was so clearly the best center fielder during the 90s.
Yeah.
Both on the field, both defensive and offensively.
Right.
That he came along at the right time. But if Griffey plays at the same time as Trout,
right,
you know, is Griffey quite as popular? Like,
right.
So I think he played in like a, it's tough. He ended up like running into like a ton of great first basemen.
No, you're right. You're right.
But I don't think that's an excuse for underappreciating him. I think it's just an unfortunate. Because like there's no way that people should remember Mo Vaughn more than Frank Thomas.
Yeah, I think Votto is like a good comp in terms of like perception a little bit, where it's just like so consistently good, consistently great. But easy to overlook because his teams aren't that great, mm-hmm. and because there's other first basemen out there who are having great seasons.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's a good place to end it.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you picked Frank Thomas. I would have been heartbroken if, for some reason, he was your least favorite player. That would have been
nuts. No.
So I'm glad that's not the case.
Frank Thomas, I never, never, never have disliked Frank Thomas. As much as I've disliked the White Sox.
Good to know.
Frank Thomas has always been held in very high regard. I love high average, high power guys.
Yeah,
plus, he looked huge.
Yeah.
I loved having a huge guy hit for average.
Oh, it's so great.
Like, when I was growing up, I was like, this is, like, perfect.
Yeah.
He's, like, the perfect man.
Yeah. I mean, literally a tight end in Division I college football.
Plus, he had an all-time great nickname, and so
yeah,
that's Fred McGriff is elevated in my mind simply because I think that might be the best nickname, at least
it's really good.
Yeah, anyway, cool.
Well, go ahead and tweet at us if you got White Sox or Cubs, since we didn't hear from anybody, but would love to know what your guys' favorite and least favorite players are of both those organizations. We'll be doing more of these as we go through the rest of the season. Before we get out of here, I want to thank Boardwalk Audio and Off the Bench once again. Visit them both, boardwalkaudio.com and offthebenchbaseball.com. Thanks to our producer, Joe, doing those hot editing skills on this podcast.
Hot edits.
Go ahead and subscribe, like us, and leave reviews in whatever your podcasting app of choice. Am I forgetting anything? Oh, Moonbounce. Thanks to Moonbounce for transition music. That's it. We'll see you next week.
has been a Boardwalk Audio podcast. For more information and shows, visit BoardwalkAudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.